See, every year, businesses everywhere, they go and decide to take inventory. But it's not just every year. They do it sometimes monthly. They might do it weekly, taking inventory because they want to see how things went. They want to see how things develop so that they can look into the future and project better goals. They want to evaluate their products, their goods, items, whatever it is. I mean, businesses do it, and it's interesting because I think all of us do that in our own lives. Because sometimes when you tell your wife or somebody, check out what's missing in the fridge, that, in a sense, you take an inventory because you want to go shopping, and you want to make sure that you have whatever you don't have, you want to bring home. You list certain items. That's taking or making an inventory. You know, this year, a lot of people go into what we call year's resolution. Some of the things that they were not able to accomplish in 2016, but they would love to see accomplished in 2017. And you know, there's a list. You Google that, and Google will give you so many items that people list. Like one of those is like maybe quit smoking or lose weight or eat healthy. It's interesting. A lot of people try to eat healthier now because apparently we discover we're killing ourselves with some of the food that we're putting into our bodies. And so like more people go natural and, you know, organic. That's a word that you didn't use 20 years ago. But now it's like, you know, it's like because maybe if we go healthier, we stay healthier. So people would like to do that, and they would love to accomplish, but we also know that in order for us to accomplish or achieve that, it's going to require a lot of sacrifices and determination because it ain't easy. So we do all kinds of resolutions, you know, like exercise, drink more water, wake up early. Some of you guys that like to stay up late, you know, vacation is almost over. Now you have to adapt, and it's like, maybe the body needs more rest, and I'm not giving it to him, and no wonder I'm all the time tired. More time with family. I mean, some of the ones you go and go into different websites, it will give you different items that people will list as a resolution for this new year. To me, it's like you go back and review your history. You go back like, you know, this is what I wanted to do, but I couldn't do it. Maybe now I'm gonna really strive hard to accomplish that. You see, when it comes to reviewing or looking back to some of the things that people accomplished or didn't accomplish, I'm reminded of the story in the Bible. Joshua did that with the nation of Israel. Joshua is the man that God used to bring the Israelites into the land of Canaan, the promised land. Moses was already dead. And Joshua took on that challenge to carry the Israelites to Canaan. And it's interesting, right after people got to Canaan, right before they went out to enjoy the inheritance, Joshua determined that they needed to review their history. So it was like, before we go and enjoy our land and the vineyards that you did not plant, before you go and enjoy life, you got to go back and review your history. And in chapter 24 of the book of Joshua, that's where we're going to spend some time this morning, I see that Joshua really took an inventory of the history of Israel, the nation of Israel. Like he addressed things all the way from way before Israel became a nation. It's almost like Joshua wanted the Israelites to understand, if we are here today, it's because God was faithful to us and brought us to where we are. But before you go and enjoy life, don't forget. You see, that's what the past will do to you. It's like we all have a past. Dirty or whatever it is, I mean, there's a past, but you learn from it. So you don't repeat the mistakes you did in the past. And there are also great things that occur in the past. And maybe it's like, you know, I go back and I remember what happened there. And now I'm here because of what happened. It was vital for the Israelites to review their history when they came to the land. This is the promise that God gave us. We are here. We are about to go enjoy it. Joshua did not want the Israelites to forget how God brought him to where they were at. Now, when you go to Joshua, you got your Bibles with you in chapter 24. Joshua is the sixth book in the Bible, so you can just go and find it right there. The last chapter of that book, 24, it says in the NIV that the covenant got renewed. It's interesting. The Lord had told Joshua to review the history of the people. You know, every nation on earth has a history. You can go back, and in that history, you might have nice things. It might not have nice things. But nonetheless, it's important that you review, if you're a nation today, what has gotten you thus that far that you are a nation today? So the Israelites did the same. When you go in chapter 24, you encounter places, you encounter phrases like, I took your father Abraham. I sent you Moses. I brought your fathers. God is telling the Israelites, if you're here today, it's because I brought you here. I sent you, I brought, I blessed you, I gave you enemies into your hands. I protected you, like Danji talked about this morning. God did all those things. God fought your battles so that you today can be entering the land of Canaan. So from chapter 24, verses 1 through 13, God is the one talking. He said, I did that for you. And it's interesting because he reviewed key elements of the history of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then the 12 patriarchs. It's reviewing, you know, Abraham, and then to Abraham I gave Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Esau and Jacob, and to Jacob I gave 12 sons, and they became the 12 tribes of Israel. And then I gave you Moses and Aaron. They guided you through the wilderness, and when Moses was gone, I gave you Joshua. So key elements that they review about the history of the Israelites. Now, it's interesting because when you're reviewing that, you can tell it was evident that the presence of God was evident among the people of Israel, God's chosen people. If they were here today, they just got to the land, it's because God brought them there. I mean, imagine 40 years wandering in the desert, an enemy surrounding you, and you still made it to the land by the grace of God. In their journey, God was always there providing for them. And Joshua challenged the people to think about the fact, the reason that they were there in Canaan now is because Yahweh, the Lord, provided for them. His presence has always been evident. And you can read that in chapter 24. But then in verse 14 through following, Joshua challenged the people then. Okay, we know that God already being faithful. We know that he's done all those things for you. What you going to do about it now? And then Joshua, in verse 14, this is what he tells the people. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt. And serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord and serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we travel. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Now Joshua challenged the nation. And remember, the background here is, again, they made it already. Joshua is about to die. He realized, we got to review our history. So that you tell your kids, so that tomorrow you don't forget how you got here. You know, sometimes we tend to forget how we made it to certain places because we forget to review our history. So Joshua said, before you go and enjoy land, a land that was not even yours, God gave it to you, you need to remember how you got here. And so he reviewed that. Now, he challenged it to commit themselves to God. And the first thing he says, commit yourself to fear God. Look at that, verse 14. Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Commit yourself to fear God. Now, scripture teaches us that the fear of God is what? The beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. The Bible talks about. Now, the word for fear here is really the word afraid, frightened. The word awe, you stand in awe of something. Another word would be this reverence you have. I always use the analogy, I'm really afraid of electricity. I have this awe for electricity. Now, my wife can tell you, I would not, if it has to do with like changing something, I would not change it. I would call Alex, I would call Lee, somebody who can do, or June, to do that, because I just flip the switch, that's all I do. I have this reverence for electricity, and I enjoy it. I enjoy it because, you know, we benefit from it, but I don't mess around because I don't want to die. I know that there's so much power going through that, and if I make a mistake, I might not be here to tell you. So this fear that I have. So Joshua is trying to get the Israelites so that they fear God, this reverence, this awe for the Lord that I think in our nation we have lost. In our nation and also in our churches, we have lost this fear for God. When you think about it, we don't reverence God as we should. Now, Exodus 19, when Moses goes back into the mountains and the mountain was like shaking and there was smoke in the mountains because God came on that mountain. Remember chapter 19 of Exodus when Moses received the tablets, the Ten Commandments? The Israelites are shaking like, and they told Moses, you talk to God because this is like intense. We don't want to be here. And Moses said, hey, the Lord just came down to test you so that the fear of God will keep you from sinning. You see, the fear of God will keep you and I from messing up. If we truly fear God, we will commit less sin. The fear of God will keep you and I from sinning. Exodus 20:20. But like I said, we have lost reverence in our society for God, for the sacred. Like, you know, even the name of Jesus, people use it as a curse word now. You know, there's no respect. And you know, so it's like this, I mean, even when we worship, we come, it's like, ah, you know, just, it's socializing time. It's like, but before people will go and just like, you know, it's the worship already started, so you better get into the mode. No, today it's like you go into a movie, just you grab your cup of coffee, you come in here, and then we tend to forget about, what did we come here to do? Who are we talking to? God is not like me or you. It's almost like even when you approach him, he's in a different level. And even that, sometimes we tend to ignore and forget that. Don't put him in a box. He's not like you. This God is holy, and he can be, the Bible calls it consuming fire. So you better know who you're talking to because he can hurt you. But again, some preachers, all they tell you about, the guy's the God of love and grace and mercy, and that's true. But he's also the God of justice, and he said, I'm a jealous God. We need to right-size God. And I think, you know, Joshua wanted the people to understand, you know, fear God. Remember all the signs that he showed you? How powerful he is? Don't forget about that. So he says, fear God. Commit yourself to fear the Lord, to have this awe, to standing all of his greatness, his grace, who he is. Now, scripture also talks about a God-fearing person. You remember when it says like, oh, that person, he's a God-fearing, or that person feared the Lord. When you look up what a God-fearing person was in those days, somebody who trusts God and somebody who obeys God's command. Cornelius, the Bible in the book of Acts chapter 10, he talks about that he was a God-fearing man. And what he did, he prayed daily to God, and he also gave money to the poor. Because he understood, I got to help out people. And then an angel visited him and said, hey, Cornelius, your prayers have been answered. And, you know, go call Peter so that Peter has a message to tell you. But it's interesting because Cornelius is talked about as a God-fearing man. Job also is considered that he feared God. You know what Job did when his kids went out partying? You know, Job would go and offer God an offering, thinking, in case my kids curse God today because they were partying so hard, let me just offer God on their behalf. I mean, God-fearing man. You know, it's almost like, are you God-fearing for this year? Or perhaps you didn't fear God in 2016. Would you have a different perspective about the fear of God as you journey through this year today, that starts today? Joshua challenged the Israelites, be God-fearing. Fear the Lord when you go into the land. Yeah, he loves you very much to the point, but when you disobey, man, you might not want him against you. Fear the Lord. He also challenged the people to commit yourself to serve God faithfully. Check out verse 14 again. Fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Some translation would say, serve God with all sincerity and truth. Commit yourself to serve God. So he's telling the people, serve the Lord. Now, the word for serve here is really to do work, to labor. to do some work. So imagine in those days, if you had, if you were a farmer, you would serve God, and sometimes people would bring whatever they produce from the land and offer that to the Lord as a service to God. We can call that even worship today, because the work that we do for God really is an act of worship. Joshua is challenging the Israelites to say, commit yourself to serve God faithfully. Your service to God should come out of your fear of the Lord, out of your reverence for Him. Now, let me tell you that you cannot serve God and worship God faithfully when God is competing with other gods. You cannot worship or serve God faithfully if the Lord is competing with other idols, with some idols in your life. Because look at what Joshua told the people. Fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river. That word river should be capitalized in your Bibles. That's Euphrates River. A river that used to go through the Garden of Eden. The gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. So you cannot serve God faithfully when God is competing with other gods that you have in your system. To me, it's amazing that Joshua challenged the Israelites to throw away the gods that their forefathers worshipped. I mean, if you were to do that today, your grandma would kill you. Because, you know, it's like God, Joshua recognized, you know, you've been worshiping God, but you've also been worshiping other gods. Now that you're going to enter the land, get rid of those other gods because they did not bring you here. Joshua said, put away the gods your forefathers worshipped. I got a label for that. I would call those gods traditional gods. Now, hear me out. There's nothing wrong with tradition. Tradition is good. But sometimes in the tradition, we learn to worship something that has nothing to do with the Lord. Then Joshua said, you got to throw that away. You know, there are people that they will not become Christians because they were born in X religion. And my grandma, great, 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 they always been there. So I'm going to be there despite the fact that perhaps God's calling them to out of that religion, to have a relationship with them. But they will never have a relationship with the Lord because it's being imprinted in them. Now, the Israelites, Joshua died when he was 110 years. So for about 80 years, I can guarantee you that the Israelites were worshiping other gods. In fact, they went through the land 40 years with them too. They made it to Canaan, and they're still worshiping Yahweh, but also worshiping other gods. You know why I'm preaching the sermon to us today? Because I think we do the same many times. We pledge our allegiance to God, but we also pledge our allegiance to other things that come into our system that we may call them idols. And God is competing for our attention. God is competing for our hearts with other gods that we have made in the place of Him. To me, it's interesting. This is, we're talking about God's chosen people. How on earth are they going to do that for 40 years when before they even started walking on the land, God already told them in the tablets, you shall have no other gods before me. And apparently they didn't listen to that. I mean, what happened to the first two commandments, Israelites? You shall have no other gods before me. And there's another one that says, you shall not make for yourself an image of anything on heaven. Nothing. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And to me, it just boggles my mind that they already went 40 years in the wilderness carrying out those idols with them. And God blessed them anyways. And then finally, they needed a leader to come and tell him, you got to get rid of those idols. Moses never did it. Moses reviewed the history of Israel, but he never challenged the people to get rid of those idols. And now Joshua challenged the Israelites. He says, throw away, get rid of those gods that your forefathers worshipped in Egypt. I mean, you know, Egyptian had a god for everything. And you're bringing those things with you now to Canaan. Get rid of that and serve Yahweh, serve God, because really, He's the only God that provided for you. He's the one that brought you here. You and I cannot serve God faithfully, when our God is competing with other gods. Because we worship Him in some days, and then we worship other gods other days. That's not faithfully serving Him or worshiping Him. Joshua challenged them, says, get rid of them. Throw away the gods your forefathers, your ancestors worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And then he continued challenging them. You see, serving God is going to be a choice you and I will have to make. See, for the Israelites, that was going to be really hard for them to get rid of the gods that they grew up worshiping. The gods your ancestors worshiped were the ones that you knew when you were a kid. So now this man, this leader, telling him, hey, before you go and enjoy the land, get rid of those idols. Can you imagine the people's like, hello, this is what we grew up worshiping. Now you're saying that's wrong? I heard that before too. So you're saying my great, great, great granddaddy, that they were wrong in doing that? But yeah, your great, great, great granddaddy were worshiping other gods instead of the Lord. They were wrong. Because you were like syncretism. You're worshiping multiple things. And it's okay, you're worshiping God now, but you worship, it's like, and God said, I mean, remember the commandment. He says, you shall have no other gods before me because I'm the Lord, I'm jealous. I mean, think about you who are married. You're going to love somebody else too besides your wife? How would she feel when you just buy her roses and the wife you married, you're not even buying him a thank you card? I mean, you'll be out of the house. So the Israelites did that to God, and it's like Joshua, finally, a leader, said, hey, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers, your ancestors worshiped beyond the river. And you see, they had great reason to throw away those gods. Those gods never helped him. The only one who helped him was Yahweh, the Lord. Now, the question for you and I as we go into 2017, What are you worshiping beside God? What are you worshiping beside Jesus, beside our Lord? We are also to commit ourselves to faithfully serve God. But in order for us to serve God faithfully, we have to check, examine ourselves and see what have we made into gods and idols that really taking our time and competing for our devotion and love. Because God should be the number one in our lives. But perhaps it's my computer or my video game or my TV show that I don't have time to family because I just got to be caught up in that. You see, anything has the potential to become a god, even your spouse. I mean, some people say sometimes, she or she is my world. What happens when she or he leaves you? Your world crumbles. Because we have made those people into gods, and it's like only God can really fulfill that desire and fill that gap that we have. This longing that we have, nothing else. And so Joshua challenged the people and said, throw away those gods because they're not good for you and serve God faithfully. And then he says, you know, it's a choice you have to make. Joshua could not make that choice for the Israelites, just like I cannot make that choice for you. To serve God, to worship God, is a choice each and every one of us have to make. Parents, you cannot make that choice for your kids either. You can influence that choice, but eventually it's going to be up to them whom they will worship tomorrow. So Joshua said to them, verse 15, but if serving God seems undesirable to you, if you desire not to do it, he said, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But I'm going to tell you what choice I'm going to make, he said. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, worshiping God, serving God, loving God, it's a choice. It's always a choice. And God will never take that choice away from you. I mean, that's why he created us, that we can choose. Joshua could have made the choice for the Israelites. And I, as a preacher, I cannot make the choice for church people. Everybody, I cannot even make that choice for my family. See, Joshua kind of like, it's interesting. He posted this challenge. He says, you know, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have two choices, really, or three. You're either going to end up worshiping the gods you've always been worshiping because that's how you've been trained by your great-great-granddaddies, and I mean, that's cultural gods, or you're going to end up worshiping the gods of the land where you're living. The cultural gods, I call them. Because that's where you are right now. So you're already in the land of the Amorites. Eventually, if you don't worship the gods of your forefathers, you're going to worship the gods of the Amorites instead of worshiping Yahweh, the Lord, Jehovah. It says, choose today. And it says, but as for me and my house, it says, we're going to serve the Lord. because it is the Lord. So Joshua challenged the people to make a choice before they go and enjoy their inheritance. And that's true. It's very simple. You're either going to worship what you've always been accustomed to worship, because that's all you know, or you're going to be tempted to worship whatever else people are worshiping, because that's the society that we live in, and you're going to be tempted to just go with the flow, conform to the pattern of what they have. Or eventually you say, you know what, despite whatever, how I was trained, how I was taught, despite what the society is telling me to do, I'm going to stick with Yahweh. I'm going to worship the Lord because He is my God. And it's a choice you and I will have to make. You and I must choose wisely. You see, Joshua made a choice. He said it. When he said it, as for me and my household, me and my family, we will serve the Lord. It's almost like Joshua saying, you know, gang, I don't know what you guys are going to do, but I know what I'm going to do. It's up to you what choice you're going to make, but as for me and in my house, we're going to serve Yahweh because He's our God. I know He's the one who brought us. I know He's the one who fought our battles. And far be it from me to neglect Him and forget Him. I'm going to worship Him. Now, it's interesting. The people also responded to the challenge, and they said to Joshua, we too are going to worship the Lord. Joshua, to me, I don't know if you guys ever seen the movie Braveheart. It's like a William Wallace type of leader. And I think our churches need more of those leaders. Somebody who would challenge people, say, you better get your butt in check and do something for the Lord. Moses didn't do it. Joshua had to come and challenge the people, throw away those gods. As for me and my house, he says, we will serve the Lord. And I love the response the people have. Verse 16, then the people answer, far be it from us to forsake the Lord and serve other gods. It was the Lord. It's interesting. They're responding like that. But do you realize that you already have the other gods with you too? I mean, did you guys catch that? They say, far be it from us to forsake the Lord. Meanwhile, you still have other gods that Joshua is telling you to get rid of. I don't know. Maybe I was the only one who caught that part over there. When they said, far be it from us to forsake the Lord and serve other gods. Hello, you already been serving other gods. It took Joshua to tell you to get rid of them. You understand what I'm saying now? It was the Lord our God Himself who brought us up and our fathers up from Egypt, from the land of slavery, and performed those great signs before our eyes. We've seen what God has done for us. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we travel. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. And then they say, we too will serve the Lord because He is our God. But in order for you to serve God faithfully, get rid of the other ones you have been worshiping along the way. Then Joshua, I love this part too. Joshua, verse 19, he says to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. And He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after He has been good to you. But the people again, they replied. The people said to Joshua, we too will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen to serve the Lord. And then they say, yes, we are witnesses. They reply. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods among you. You see, they had those gods among them. Joshua said, now then, throw away those gods, the foreign gods among you, and yield, turn your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord, our God, and obey Him. Man, I love that challenge. I don't know about you, but maybe I'm the only one excited about that part. But so be it. But just like, wow, this leader challenged the nations, like, what you gonna do? Throw away those gods that your forefathers worship and yield your hearts to the Lord. Just serve Him faithfully. And they responded to the challenge. They stepped up to the plate and said, we too will serve the Lord, because they remember the history. They remember that He protected you on the journey and He fought your battles. He was there for you and He brought you to a land that He promised to give to you as an inheritance. And they said, we too will serve the Lord. Now Joshua reminded them the kind of commitment that they were making. He said, make sure that when you say, I'm going to do this, Lord, doesn't become like a resolution, because sometimes the resolution by the third week in January, we throw them out of the window, out through the windows. So Joshua said, you guys are not going to be able to serve the Lord. Let me just tell you right now, because he's a holy God and he's jealous God. And if you rebel against him, even though he's been good to you, he's going to turn his face against you. You say, make sure that you know what you're doing when you say, Lord, I'm going to serve you. Joshua wanted the people to understand that challenge that they were going to be stepping up to. But they committed themselves to serve God. They said it. And you know what I found out when you read the history? They did it. They committed themselves to serve God, and they did exactly that. I love verse 31. Look at what it says. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the elders who outlived him and who had experienced everything that the Lord had done for Israel. These elders, this leader, this nation, when Joshua challenged them, they stepped up to the plate and they said, we too will serve the Lord because he is our God, and they did it. They served God as long as Joshua was alive and the elders who saw the signs of the Lord. I love Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua. Man, that would be beautiful that as long as I'm a preacher in Staten Island, that I can say that the Staten Island Church, they served the Lord throughout my ministry here. That's a great thing that people can say about me when I die. The Israel served the Lord. That my family was a Christian even though when I was gone. My dad always says that he's so happy that his kids are still walking in the Lord. I'm not a preacher because my dad was a preacher. I didn't want to be a preacher in the first place. You know the story. But God called me, and now I don't want to do anything else. But I said, as for me and my house, we're going to worship the Lord. But what the greatest joy is that after I'm gone, my kids can continue that pattern. And one generation to one generation, that we can look back and realize we are here today because he brought us. People stepped up to the challenge. I love it. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua. And throughout when Joshua was gone, the elders were around. They continued telling Israel, we got to serve the Lord. Throw away the other gods. We got to serve the Lord. Be faithfully to the Lord. This is the covenant that Joshua renewed. There was a new agreement, a new pact with the Israelites. They made that covenant that day. The people truly committed themselves to faithfully serve the Lord, God alone, and not any other gods, man-made gods. Now, that's the kind of inventory that Joshua made with the people. The question for you and I is, what kind of inventory are we going to make? I mean, a new year has dawned, a new year has begun. Are we also going to step up to the challenge and say, maybe I wasn't that great of a Christian last year, and I want to get to know the Lord better this year. I'm going to step up to the challenge. I'm going to say, you know, as for me and my house, we're going to do better to serve God and God alone. We're not going to let anything else come between our God and us. But that's a challenge that you will have to make. Just like Joshua, choose this day what you're going to do. But as for me and my house, we will worship, we will serve the Lord. Now, will you truly serve God this new year, 2017, will you truly worship him, just him? You got to choose. Like I said, the people of Joshua, they stepped up to the plate, they accepted the challenge, and they served the Lord throughout the lifetime. My prayer for all of us is that we too will worship God and just God this new year. Just try that. Just step up to the challenge like Joshua challenged the Israelites, that we too can say, as for me and my house, what I have right now, Lord, we're going to serve God. We're going to worship you because you are our God. I guarantee you all of us have a history. We can look back and some of us can see evidence of God in our past too. That I'm here today because he healed me of something that I had, or he provided for me when I didn't have any money back then. And I'm here today because of his grace. I mean, maybe the choice shouldn't be that hard. Because when you look back and see his evidence, you look back and see how good he's been to you, you have no choice but to worship him. But the temptation, since we live in this culture, is going to be there. That might be other gods that they want your attention as well. And you might have to say, as for me and my house, I'm going to worship God and nothing else.